I'm trying to figure out if it's good or not that in between services, I get people who's, we have a lot of people on vacation, tons. And in fact, that last count was over 50. But they come and they start showing me pictures of the people who aren't here, but where they're at. We have a large group of people that went to Cabo, went to Mexico, and they come and they say, look at what they're doing. Look at all the fun they're having. And I'm here. You know, what's going on with that? However, it is always, as you guys know, every Sunday is just a joy for us to be here. And for me, I wake up early. Man, I'm looking forward to being with God's people. It's where we're at. It's what we do. It's who we are. It has been, I will tell you, one of those crazy days. First service. In fact, I had a person, I think it was Lisa's dad, I think, was telling me in the first service, I knew it was going to be that kind of morning because, man, everything went wrong all throughout the day. And I get here, and your stuff's not working. And then the video didn't work. I knew it this morning, God told me. But, man, was it a blessing today. That's when you drop back and you punt. You know, everything goes a different direction. God has a different reason for what we meant to do. But it was a great morning in spite of that, which is comes back to the point that I approach every Sunday. I am thankful that it's not about me. I am thankful that it's about His Word. I am thankful it's not about being plugged in or unplugged. I mean, the rocks need no amplification to cry out, nor will we. I mean, that's just the point of it. And so I pray, and the other thing that has hit me today is in beginning of the first service and the second service, I know that there are those who have great burdens today. I know that there are those who are dealing with physical pain, that in physical pain. I know that there's emotional pain. I know that there's familial pain. All those things are incorporated today. And we come in and we put a mask on and we think, oh, isn't this great? But I want you to know God knows, and whether you show us, if you want to put the mask on, put the mask on. Really, it's okay. Because God knows. You can cover it to us, cover it to me. You know, I don't need to be up in your business. I don't. God knows. But we need to pray for you. We need to be able to do that, to pray. And so at some point in time, this morning, you're in a group. So is there anybody sitting alone? Okay, there's three there, three there. You can be in two or three. Ben, you're going to, is that Lisa over there? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're going to make you move over. Four of you guys, four of you. Jeff, you guys need to move that way because Bob's got a bad back. All right, so here's what we're going to do. This morning, if you don't know somebody in your group, introduce yourself to them and say, hey, my name is, real quick, right now. Just introduce them to your group. You can move your chairs around if you need to. Move them around. Move them around. Mike will help you. If you need to move your chairs around. It doesn't matter if you're all family. It's okay. That's okay, too. However, if you don't like your family, you can join another group. So, you know, if that's the case. All right, so this morning we're going to look at a few things. And what I want you to know today, what I want you to do today, is here's the first question. You're going to answer this question in your group, hopefully. And it may be hard. The first question, what does balance look like in your life? Now, it may be easier to answer from a negative perspective. What does imbalance look like? When you're out of balance, what does it look like? So in your little group, let's talk about balance. What does, when you're in balance, when you think you're in balance, what does it look like? Or, oh man, I don't know what balance is. I can tell you what it looks like when I'm not in balance, okay, when things aren't going well. All right, in your group, share. Start talking. Yeah, you gotta talk. What does it look like in your group when things are not going well? Okay, here's the second one. In your group, I want you to just tell in yourself, what are the spiritual disciplines that the Word says we're to develop in our lives, okay? So, for example, the spiritual disciplines. There's a lot of them when you start to think about it, but I want you to, in your group, think about what are the spiritual disciplines that God tells you or the Word says we're to develop. Like, we're to pray, okay? That's a spiritual discipline to pray. But there's a lot of them. So in your group, I want you to come up with a list in your head of what are the spiritual disciplines that we're to try to keep in balance in our life. Go ahead, listen, in your group, talk about what are the spiritual disciplines in our life. Those of you who are in the first service should have a heads up for the second, okay? This group over here. Okay, let's talk about it for a minute here before we jump into this, hopefully, video that's going to work this service. It didn't work last. We got four words out of his mouth, I think. So what are the spiritual disciplines? Everybody got prayer, right? Because I gave that to you, right? Everybody got that one. What are the other disciplines? How many had the word? You got to be in the word. Got that one? All right, yeah, you got that one. How many had hospitality? Not counting you guys because you were in the first service. Anybody have hospitality? Was one of the disciplines that God says we're to be hospitable people, okay? That we are not, we're not to be just into ourselves. We're to be hospitable. We are to welcome others. We are to be involved with others. I think the Christian life is some, I think kids as well as pets in the way our Christian life. Here's what it is. They say that if you want to socialize a dog, you have 100 people in the first 100 days. That's how you socialize a dog. You know that? 100 people first 100 days, and that socializes a dog. I think we need to do that with our kids as well. I think our kids need to learn to be social. And part of that leads to hospitality. So like a dog, 100 people 100 day, in 100 days. Kids, 100 people in 100 days. You know, and in our life, we need to be hospitable. How many of you had, let's see, encouragement? Anybody have encouragement? You don't have to be shy if you said it. Encouragement. Okay, that's a discipline. He said to encourage. How about thankfulness? Anybody have thankfulness? Nobody said that. Okay, well, I'm thankful because I just did. Here we go, thankfulness. How about serving? A discipline in our life of serving the Lord. Anybody have that one? Oh, you did. Oh, Allie did. Well, good for you, Allie. She serves in our youth department, have been playing the keyboards, and I only get mad at her when she turns it all the way down and nobody can hear. So that Allie serves, that's right. That's one of the disciplines that we are to develop is the issue of serving and the issue that we are to serve. How about worship? Did any of you have that we're to develop a discipline of worship? Huh? See the issue? Did you guys get any of those? Did you fail? Did you not listen to the first service? You didn't listen. Okay. Worship. We're to develop the discipline of worship, not just on Sunday morning. We're to worship every day. We are to develop a heart full of worship, offering ourselves to God, giving praise to God, making Him known. That's part of our discipline. Now, what did you think when you walked in? I wondered, in the first service especially, I had one gentleman, I think it was Lynn, said, man, I wish I could take a picture of everybody who walks in and sees the change and their faces. They're looking for their chairs. They're looking for where they're going to sit. Oh, that's not our pertinent chair. Mike and I, we didn't bet because we don't bet in church. We bet. Okay, so who would sit where? I think I won overall, but he won one because he said, no, they're going to sit in that row, and they did. And so, but you walk in, you have these different thoughts. We did the same thing with the tables. We changed them around. You guys know that I don't mind change. I look at that. But when you walked in and saw this maze, when you saw, what was your first thought, I wonder? Anybody care to share? What was it? What am I doing? Yeah, but you always ask that question to me. What in the world is he doing now? Yeah, I understand that. One person, the first seven, I think it was Matt, said chaos. This looks like chaos. The point is, of these chairs, is that there's a maze here, is there not? You didn't just walk right in, sit down in your chair that you've always sat in. You had to make a decision which way to go. What is this, the change that we bring? And the chaos that it brings. And sometimes, the whole intent of that was when we have all these spiritual disciplines that we are trying to keep in the air, balanced in our lives, it's like a maze. It is like, okay, what's this one? What's that one? Where do I go? How do I do? What do I do? Where am I at? Now, this video is going to challenge your mind if it works. If it doesn't work, I'm going to challenge your mind. But if it works, he's going to challenge your mind. He's going to say the very same things in many ways that I've said before, but he's going to say it a little different way. I don't want you to miss the point, though. So if you first go, what? What's he even says, don't hang him. But just listen, because the point of the issue. So I want you to listen to this with an open mind, because it really helps us put a perspective. And then I'm going to add a capstone perspective on the issue of what balance is, what it's not, what priorities are, what they're not in our life. How do we handle those, and how do we deal with those? So first off, God, let the video work. All right, here we go. Let's set the lights down and see if it works. So we come. There were three questions that he was asking in that passage, in that whole tribe. I don't know if you caught him or not, but there were three questions. He says, first, what season am I in? What season am I in? I think that we need to look at the fact that there are seasons of life, and there's seasons within that life. I think I know in my own life, as I look at my life, I mean, think of the seasons in your life. Single. Oh, what do you do? I mean, you got all kinds of time, maybe, or whatever. Single, newlyweds, first parents, you know, when the first babies, and then you have kids, and then you got soccer moms and soccer dads and football, and you're going crazy, and then all the different, then the empty nest. What season are you in? I have found in my own life that the spiritual disciplines that I want to add, sometimes it's different for different seasons. There was a season in my life where journaling was really, God, what are you saying to me? And I'd write my prayers. It was just, that's what I did. I wrote my prayers. That was not something I had done in the past, but I just felt like in that season, I needed to pray, but I also needed to write that prayer. I needed to see my heart and then hear God speak to me. What season of life are you in? The key question that he asked was, what does Jesus want me to do today? We talk about balance, but we come to that question, and we answer that question, what does he want me to do today? That is the establishment of all of our balance, of all of our priorities. What does he want me to do today? And when we see that, it has an impact. And then the last question is, he says, where am I extremely out of balance? Where am I extremely out of balance? Because there's some that we start to focus on the wrong things, and we start to see, and in those seasons of life that he gives us different seasons of life. But I want to ask a question, and that question is, what impact does priority have on balance? What is the impact that priority will put on our balance? We know that he speaks about all the seasons of life, but what impact does the priority that we take put on those balances? What is the priority? Do we make space for the important things in our life, or is it the tyranny of the urgent? And in the tyranny of the urgent, we do all those things that are right here in front of us, and we miss those things that are truly important. What impact does priority? Our priorities of our life really need to be established. The priority of our life, the ability to say, this is what God wants me to do. This is who God has called me to be. What does priority have on balance? Matthew 6:33, it tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all that were listed ahead of them, he said, were going to be added to you. All the things that he says men strive after. What is the purpose of your life? What's the priority of your life? He says you need to be seeking to glorify God. That when we first answer that question, what does God want me to do? What does Jesus want me to do today? The answer begins with, my purpose is to honor, to live in order to glorify him. 1 Thessalonians 4, that I might live and to be obedient, to aim is to order to please him. That our day starts with the purpose of our life is to seek him first. And from that, other things will be determined. The tension, really, what it comes down to in balances and the priorities of our life is this. The tension is, do we love what Christ loves? Do we love what Christ loves? Or do we love what we love? I mean, you get to the simplest form, folks, isn't that really what it comes down to? In its simplest form, don't we say, do I love what Christ loves? When he says he loves his church, do you love the church? Are you here? When he says he loves to serve, he came not to be served, but to serve. Do you serve? When we love what Christ loves, we will demonstrate what Christ demonstrates. But the reality is we love either what we love, and then sadly, in some ports, we love or have to love or have to do what other people want us to love. Other people will put priorities in our life. Other people will say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Other people say, this is important, that's not important. What you're doing is not important. Loving Christ may not be. So it really comes down to the issue of our life. Many times, are we doing what Christ loves, what Christ impels us and compels us to do, or do we love what we love? Is it about us? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. Why? Because I don't love that. But as we are conformed to the image of Christ, we will love what he loves. See, the goal isn't just the tool. Many of the time, the tools become just rules that we find. Anybody here on the path of walking through the Word in a year, reading through the Word in a year? Anybody here? Okay. It always amazes me that we have people in our church who do that. And I think it's great that you want to walk through you want to read the Bible in a year. Why? Why? Is it so that you can say, hey, I read the Bible in a year? I finished it. Look at me. See, the tool of the word isn't just read through it. I mean, I have people who will call, seriously, who will call and be all upset because, oh man, I'm out of sync. I missed a day. I missed a couple days. Do I go back and reread all that so that I'm going to get through it in a year? And I think most people get frustrated with me because I say no. That's what I do. No. Why? Because I don't think the year means anything. I don't think the year itself means anything. It's just, it's a great thing. I read through it a year. Whoopee, what if I read it through in a year and a day? But what is the fruit that was produced out of that? Does being in the Word change your life? It's not just a novel that we read to say, okay, got that chapter done. Pew, school done. What do we, the issue is the tools are not to become rules. They're used to conform us to the image of Christ, but we take so many of the disciplines that God tells us that we are to develop in our life, and we make them legalistic issues that put in our life. And of course, people always, you know, the guilt one is, have you prayed enough? Well, no. There's not been a day in my life that I can say, I prayed enough. I mean, I'm not the only one, guys. You are the same way. Could you pray more every day? Of course we could. But it's not about the rule. It's about the tool that binds us to God, that creates a conduit for our life in Christ. The tension is loving what Christ loves or loving what we love. And you know what? The truth, that's a hard question to answer because we don't want the answer at times. Am I living my life in obedience to the Lord to glorify Him, using the talents and skills that God has given me to use? Am I practicing the discipline of giving? That's a discipline nobody mentioned. The discipline of giving to God? Am I practicing the discipline of serving? Am I practicing? Or is it, no. Listen, your purpose, our purpose, my purpose determines our priority. Our purpose determines our priorities. If your purpose is to live in honor to glorify God, and every day say, God, what do you want me to do today? It changes the whole difference in our priorities. If your purpose is to be successful at work, then all of the priorities of your life are going to be work-related. Are they not? Are y'all falling asleep? No. If your purpose in life is to be successful at work, all of your priorities are going to be about work. That's what it's going to come out to. If your priorities are about making money, if your purpose is to make money, to be a set, to be comfortable, to have more, and to be set for when you die or whatever. I don't know why you want to be set when you die except for heaven. But your purpose determines the priorities of your life. If it's all about making money, you're going to do everything you can. You're going to work every opportunity. You're going to invest in everything you can. If the purpose determines our priorities, and if purpose is money. If purpose is your family. I know I step on toes here. It doesn't matter. It wasn't just me. This last week at 5:30, we have our Warriors Work with Men. Man, we had a great one this week. I mean, it gets down to bare knuckles at times. But if your purpose of your life is your family, then the priorities of your life are going to be hung on your family. Everything's about family. We talked about in the Warrior Work the fact that in many cases, what we've done is we've sacrificed men, not the absent father, but the father who sacrifices everything for his kids, doing everything for his kids. Not the purpose of his life were his kids. And then when they're all done, when it's all grown up, the kids look and say, well, I guess it's all about me, isn't it? The purpose of dad's life and mom's life, our family was about me. I guess it's all about me. So instead of showing the purpose of your life being the Lord Jesus and the kids, the priorities, seeing the priorities in dad and mom's life is loving and knowing God, and everything comes second to that. Now, there's seasons where family's going to be more important than other things. But the purpose of our life is to know Him and make Him known. The purpose of our life within our sphere is to say, God, You've given me a purpose to know Him. And no matter where I'm at, whether it be work, school, play, whatever it may be, the student who goes to school and says, my purpose in school is to get straight A's. Every parent may say, well, that'd just be great. But what happens when we get kids who fall apart? They do their best, but they may not hit the A, but we say, no, that's the purpose. Or what about the kid that goes to school and says, the purpose of my life is to be accepted no matter what. I want to be accepted no matter what. That's the purpose of my life. What priorities will they establish to be accepted when they really shouldn't make those priorities? But even in our students, I'm telling you what, I love our students. I come here on Sunday nights, I watch them worship. I hear Trish sing over there. They worship together, dude. And then to pray together, they pray. And I'm thinking, dude, this is something else. I know dude's not a common word today, but that's okay. But it's amazing when our purpose determines our priorities. And if a kid goes to school and says, the purpose of my life, even in school, yes, I need to learn, but my purpose is to glorify God. It will change the priorities of school. When our purpose is our family, everything's about family, everything becomes secondary. People, relationships, church, serving, everything. Not that any of those aren't important, but they cannot be the purpose of our life. The issue is, are we conforming to the image of Christ? Are we producing the fruit that those tools are meant to produce? Not becoming a bondage, not becoming a legalism of, like, I do this, then beat ourselves up because, oh man, I missed the word today. Or, man, I'm guilty because I didn't pray enough today. Or, oh, man, whatever that may be. But the question is, what does God want me to do today? The question is, what changes could you make? If you make it a personal assessment of your life, what your purpose is today, where your priorities are established, are you serving, are you giving, are you doing, are you thankful, practicing hospitality, any of the disciplines, pick them. You can't keep them all in the air at the same time. It's just not possible. But what changes could you make in your purpose? And if you made a change in your purpose, what would it change in our priorities? And when we start to live the purpose that God invested for us, all of a sudden, we can know the joy of the Lord. It doesn't mean that the work's going to be any easier, but you go to job with a purpose. It's not to be successful in your job. It's to honor and glorify the Lord in the midst of bad things. And you go to school, students, to honor and glorify God. That's why you go. Not to be a part of the crowd, not to be accepted socially, but say, man, I want to be accepted by Jesus. I want to live in order to please him. And all those things in our families, that our family sees that our priority, our purpose is to honor and glorify God, and our priorities of that will be reflected in that. Don't let tools become legalistic rules that never will produce in your life the things that need to be produced. Let's pray.